Welcome to Nos Ponemos Las Pilas, an English version of the podcast. Thanks so much for taking the time, for investing your time in the coming minutes in hopes that this conversation will be one of the best things that happens to your day. She's been appointed president of the NWSL franchise in Kansas City, the Kansas City Current, in a role that will be not only career-changing, but most likely life-changing. Raven Jamieson took up on a role of president of the KC Current on January 18th, and it's been a little over 2 months since she has led the franchise, a franchise full of challenges and opportunities as well, into a new season in the National Women's Soccer League. You've heard of women's soccer in the United States. You've heard of the United States leading the soccer world for a good part of half a century. But women's professional soccer in the United States has taken time to establish, to set a strong foothold. It started with the Women's United Soccer Association in 2000. That's a year after the great 1999 World Championships that they won in the United States. But a year after that success, that WUSA league folded, only 3 years after, in 2003. So pieces were picked up. And then after many attempts came the Women's Professional Soccer League in 2008. That folded 4 years after. And then the National Women's Soccer League was created in 2012. And up until now has been the best attempt to set a women's professional soccer league in the United States. Kansas City has had its issues trying to establish a franchise in that city, which calls itself the soccer capital of America. And now with the Kansas City Current and its ownership group led by Angie and Chris Long and Brittany and Pat Mahomes, they are doing what no one in professional sports in America has ever done. They already opened a soccer-specific stadium built purposely for a women's professional team, CPKC Stadium. That does away with all the complexities of having women's sports, sharing buildings, sharing facilities. No, now Kansas City Current has its own facilities for women in a world that is in need of opportunities for all. Kansas City is providing them. And Raven Jamieson is leading that venture and is our next guest on Nos Ponemos Las Pilas, the president of the KC Current of the NWSL. We're Raven Jamieson. You've already been there for 2 months in your current job. I'm hoping this is the best 30 minutes you've had in the last 2 months.
Without a doubt, no question.
Thank you so much. There you go. So you already know the process. You come in, you sugar the interviewer, and you have a nice 30 minutes ahead of you.
I love it. I learned a little bit along the way, for sure.
So Raven, you've done it all. You've done all the sports, all the professional leagues. I don't know if there's there's an individual out there currently that has experience in the eyes, the diamonds, the courts, and now the pitches.
That's right. The pitches and not the field, Fernando, to be clear. We've been all around. It's been an amazing 18 years. This industry has taken me all over this beautiful country. Most excited, though, to be here in Kansas City, leading this awesome franchise towards history with every match that we have. But it's been a great journey for sure.
So Kansas City Current, owned by the Long family, the Angie and Chris Long, and the Mahomes, Brittany and Pat. So you have a set of famous owners out there. How is it sitting down with them and discussing what the franchise will do?
It's great. And I'll tell you, there's one conversation that I had with Angie Long in particular that sold me on the vision of this franchise and what this ownership group is trying to accomplish here in Kansas City, not just for the city, not just for the region, not just for soccer, not just for women's sports. I mean, this is an endeavor that is set forth to be something that people will remember forever. So the vision here is clear. It's been great to sit down with them to really understand what they want to accomplish. And while we had a remarkable opener that we're still very much on a high from, each week we hope to outshine that, right? We want to deliver the best possible fan experience, the best possible stadium experience, and just keep riding the wave, because we don't call it a moment here. We call it a movement. And it's something that we wanted to set forth on March the 16th, but this will be a movement that will continue for years to come and hopefully bring several people along with us so we can show how it's done and they can continue to follow in our footsteps.
I'm going to track back some steps, and this is not an interview. This is a conversation. Although in the time I hear you respond to my second question, I come up with so many of my own that I'd like to just open it up and start, you know, bringing in so many topics that are of interest. But in particular, the complexity of actually presiding over a women's sports franchise nowadays. And I can recall the times when, especially in soccer, in football, as it's called all over the world, but in soccer in America, even after the success of the 1999 Women's World Cup, there was an attempt to create a professional soccer league, and that failed. And after that attempt, immediately they were trying to pick up the pieces to create another women's professional soccer league. And now we're in the third attempt in three decades with the National Women's Soccer League. And this one is holding on, not holding on to dear life, it's doing strong. What has changed from your perspective? What has changed to the fact that we're going on to its 11th or 12th year of existence in the National Women's Soccer League? And again, it's doing strong.
That's it. I think there's a couple of things here, Fernando. When you talk about previous iterations, and we needed those attempts, quite frankly, we needed to understand what worked, what didn't work. And when you think about the ownership groups that are coming into the NWSL right now, combined with just the meteoric rise of women's sports in particular, it's kind of the perfect storm. We're sitting at an inflection point where you now have the investment in these world-class female athletes and what they need from a performance standpoint, what they need to be shown that they are the level of athlete that we know that they are, but treated as such. So you have this ownership, these ownership groups like the Longs and Mahomes, is it, that are saying, okay, now is the time to strike because we know what these women deserve. And here are the things that we're going to provide them such that there are differentiating points from previous attempts, right? Whether it's your own training facility, like we have here in Riverside, or it's your own stadium where you can not only be the core product and the primary tenant, but you can actually run a sports business. So I think some of this is just the evolution of ownership. It's the demands of the female athletes and them saying, this is what we need to be successful, providing them those resources such that they are successful, and then executing. And when you have that kind of collaboration across the board, and then you have people who, like my teammates and myself, who are invested in making sure that the NWSL is a destination. It's a destination for talent on the front office side. It's a destination for technical staff. We want to see this league succeed in a way that maybe I can't say that wasn't in previous attempts, but I think there's just a collection and a collaborative effort across the board to make sure this is successful. So it's the times that we're in. I mean, I watched Caitlin Clark last night play for Iowa, and she's headed to the WNBA, which is going to help transcend and continue to push that league forward. And I think you just have the international soccer stars that are coming over here to the NWSL and saying that this is a destination to play. It's just a collection of things. I don't think it's just one thing. And I'm just happy to be kind of in the center of it all, taking it all in.
It's fascinating how I just got the opportunity to call the CONCACAF W Gold Cup recently in Spanish. So I'm hoping you didn't miss that because it was really exciting. I had a great time calling that tournament. And I've seen the change of women's soccer since I was given the chance also to call the Olympic tournament in 2012 in London. And athletically, the sport has changed a lot. It not only has become a more athletic sport, it's faster, it's more skills involved. The game is a lot, it's better to watch nowadays. It's enjoyable to watch. It's a great product out there. And talking about the international aspect of it all, it just strikes me that some of the players that were in that tournament were not given a chance by the NWSL because they were in the tournament. Some coaches criticizing the fact that, you know, you got players getting hurt because they participated in the tournament. When what I think of it is, it's just a window of opportunity for women's soccer to be shown.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I can't speak to the technical side. Obviously you'd have to connect with Cammy, our GM, and our head coach, Vlatko. But what I can say is the exposure that our athletes are getting with respect to world-class talent, like you just mentioned, helps us all. I mean, when I think about what our team looks like on the pitch right now, you know, we were just talking internally about my in-laws who are college football fanatics and don't really watch any other sport, who are now obsessed with the NWSL. Because to your point, they are now creating that fandom such that the games are so exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. Even thinking about our match on Saturday, which was a late start, you know, my in-laws took a nap that day so they could stay up and watch this because they were so enthralled by the mm-hmm. action, speed, and the anticipation that is soccer. So, you know, I do think the thing that we can all lean into is the fact that soccer is growing in fandom, and some of the things that are happening, whether it's the World Cup or any other tournament, is giving us exposure here in America to what this beautiful sport is.
I did not grow up in America, in the U.S. I went to school in the U.S. and back in the 1990s when I was going to school here, the question was, what's your favorite sport? I did track, but my favorite sport was soccer. It was hard to pick up a soccer game on TV. Now you can get everything on TV. You can watch every single game on TV. But the question back then is the same question now. And you've seen it all. You're in the sports industry, and you probably heard the question, well, soccer, or the statement, you know, soccer is coming up, is really becoming popular. When is it ever going to hit the home run? You know, when is it ever going to stick?
Yeah,
that's the question. That the debate is, does it really need to stick within the sports or just grow within its fandom?
I think both, and I think it can do both. We are marching towards the World Cup that will be hosted. You know, we do have a site here in Kansas City as a host city. I think it's going to be meteoric, and of course it's the men's World Cup. But what's going to happen is just going to be a natural fandom that happens because it's here in America. It's here in North America. But I do think that it is starting to create fans because it is providing the exposure that maybe it didn't have when you talked about the previous iterations of the league. Mm-hmm. You can turn on a match on Saturday and watch women's soccer. That wasn't a thing. And when you talk sports fans, which I am, Fernando, it doesn't take much to get me excited about a sport I'm watching. I will watch paint dry really fast if two people are trying to paint. I'm going to say, let me watch this because I'm sitting at home enjoying sports for the day. So once we get more eyeballs on it, I think, just as I mentioned with my in-laws, as I mentioned, you know, my wife is, she's like, when is the next match? Where are my tickets? I want to make sure I'm there. What am I going to miss? And these are people that, again, had not really been exposed to the sport as much as I have, right? Because mm-hmm. I live. So I think it's going to be both. I think you're going to have it stick in a way that makes sense here in North America. And you will see the women's meteoric rise and NWSL tag right along with that. And it's going to, this is just the beginning, in my opinion.
The CPKC Stadium, it's the first soccer-specific purpose built for women's pro team stadium in the U.S. In the world, I would think.
In the world.
And that brings me to a topic you were talking about a couple of minutes ago, where opportunities, right? Opportunities are given to women in sports. Why is there a need for a women-specific stadium? My answer to that will be because women need opportunities. I was talking to coaches in the Gold Cup recently, and they were saying, you know what? Women have to wait until the men's schedule comes out so they can know where they would be playing, because there's no two fields, right? There's only one field for them to play in, and men get they higher up. They get the better time slot, right? Because it's a better business. Yep. Well, you don't have to fight for that in Kansas City.
You don't, which is, you know, you ask why and how. The question I always ask myself is, I can't believe it took this long. I'm glad that I'm kind of in the center of it, thank goodness, but I can't believe it took this long for this to be something that we're talking about. You know, I kind of rewind back to the days that I was playing high school basketball, for example, and you had the girls play before the boys. And what would happen is the girls would play in an empty arena or empty gym. And then the prime time, quote unquote, was the boys. And all through my sports business career, it was still kind of the same, right? To your point, whether it's being the second tenant in a building that is not yours, for example, for a lot of NWSL teams, or maybe you're the third tenant. A lot of our sports, women's sports, succumb to that kind of second or third tier when they don't deserve that. And so when you talk about what this means for women's sports, not only is it showing what's possible, but it's showing that you can actually run a business like a sports business should be run. And that's having the inventory and the accessibility to being able to do private events and sell sponsorships, because your CPKC will stay on the stadium because you sold that for the Kansas City Current and no one else, right? So it brings a whole host of opportunities that just currently don't exist, but we know will begin to exist because we've done it and we've shown that it's possible, and we've shown that you can have a sold out stadium, and we've shown that you can sell out season tickets. We've shown these things, and we only hope to continue such that people see, okay, the investment in women is not just saying, oh, they're small men, let's make sure they have great strength and conditioning tailored to them. It's more than that, right? They deserve their own locker room. And I don't know if you saw any of the social media content, the look on these world-class athletes' faces and conversations I had with them after they saw it, it was almost like, I can't believe it took this long, but holy crap, this is for me, right? So there's just things that you ask yourself, I can't believe, and you tell yourself.
What's in those locker rooms that made them excited?
Their own locker. Like they walk into it and you know, you see a locker that is yours that you can come to at any time. Your own showers, right? You don't have to worry about sharing it with anyone. And that's something, it might seem like not that big, but when you have been a professional and you've had to exist in a world where you don't have a quote unquote home to call your own, it's very meaningful. Mm. So it was just great to see that entire experience. Was just great to see through their eyes.
Now, in trying to remain in that business side of it, and the perspective that sometimes and most times it will have those in the decision-making process or management positions having to make decisions when it comes to sharing a venue between men and women's sports, they would say, okay, what's bringing me more dollars, right? And how do you get with, it's a fine line, because you know, women can't bring the dollars to the business if given the opportunity. They're not going to do so at 11 a.m. in a bad time slot where you know, no revenue can be made. But they can do so if given the time slot where revenue can be made. How do you cross that boundary when it doesn't exist yet, but you know the potential is there?
In terms of the boundary being that
the decision making is saying, okay, I have no examples of success with a women's pro team or sports team, but yet I know it has potential. So that's the boundary with limiting, you know, what I have as my perception and what could be created if given the opportunity.
So, Fernando, call me crazy, but I don't believe in limits, partly because I work for owners who don't believe in limits. And they hired me and they hired our teammates specifically because we do not necessarily believe that because it hasn't been done before that it can't be done.
Yeah.
So that mentality is ingrained in us. And, you know, when we think about each match, we take each match separately to understand how we can make an impact for that particular audience on that particular day, including obviously winning on the pitch. But what do we need to do to make sure we're running a sound business such that we can continue to do this every week and every season? So I always used to hear, if you can see it, you can be it. But I am a firm believer, especially having never seen a Black woman in this position growing up. And as I was coming up through this career, sometimes you are it and we are it for what is possible. So we want to show, and will we make every decision correctly? No, but that's the whole purpose of being the first and stepping into history. Every time we do something here, it will be the first time, right? Whether it's the first concert that we host, it'll be the first concert at a stadium specifically designed and purpose built for this women's soccer club, right? So I personally love it. I love the fact that it, quote unquote, has not been done because the slate is blank and we can make it what we want and hopefully learn along the way and have others come alongside us and say, what we learned from you is X and here's how we're going to do Y, right? So I personally love that there are really no boundaries.
Now, Kansas City had a franchise before in the NWSL, and that folded. What did you learn from that? Or what have you learned from it that you know, you're trying to put to work in this KC current?
I think having not been here and not being from Kansas City, what I can say we've learned is that this is a soccer town. Once we open the doors to say that we are, quote unquote, open for sale in terms of buying season tickets or partnerships, people answered the call. So what I can say is what happened to the franchise before us, they laid the foundation such that soccer fans were ready for us to come back, which made it a little bit easier, obviously, for us to garner that support because Kansas City is just a sports town. It is a sports town and they love soccer. So I would say what we learned is, thank you for laying the foundation. Here's how we're going to take it to the next level and give these athletes what they deserve.
So sell me Kansas City as a soccer crazy town, because I've heard, and in prepping for this, I was reminded of the fact that Kansas City calls itself the soccer capital of America.
Yeah,
I don't see it, you know, but maybe sell me.
We should have you out. We'll get you in your jersey and you'll come out and you'll see it for yourself. Let me give you, it's a little bit of story time here. So when I first came here 2 months ago, I sat down with some of our supporters. I sat down with stakeholders just to kind of understand what the gravity of this role was. And there were so many people, some who had been fans of the previous Kansas City team, who were so upset when that team left. And the conversations and the storytelling around what this club and this stadium meant for them definitely helped me understand that this is the soccer capital of America, because people were clamoring for this club to come back. One example, we had a season ticket member open house. So we allowed season ticket members to come in and see the stadium for the first time the week before the stadium opened. There was a woman who came with her now, I think her daughter was maybe 20 or 21. And they, with tears in their eyes, explained what this opening of this stadium with this particular team meant for them. And now they could enjoy matches together. Because before, they were, when her daughter was in high school and was playing soccer herself, she didn't really have examples of what was possible as a professional soccer athlete, for example. So now they, and I had them text me when they were here on opening day, tears again. So when we talk about soccer capital, it's just, I think it's endemic to what people really feel with respect to how they feel about not only the game, but what the game means to them, their family, their friends, and how it is a community. So that's just an example. And again, I am not from here, Fernando, and they're telling stories, you know, voluntarily to just explain the gravity of the moment, which was very helpful to me because I've been in this industry for a long time and I've been in a lot of great sports towns. And it was important for me to hear those stories and why soccer meant so much to these families, to these friend groups. I met several friend groups who would go to the matches from the other club, and they all bought season tickets together, for example. So I think it's when we say soccer capital of America, it's also the soccer community of America, because this city really rallied around and this community really rallied around this and continues to rally around this club.
I guess the importance of having your own stadium as well, the CPKC, you don't have to share it with anyone. That to begin with lets you plan ahead, gives you the freedom to, you know, alongside a couple conversations with the TV stakeholders, program your games, schedule your games whenever you want. That is, seems like a small thing, but when it comes to the business side, the sky's the limit.
Sky is the limit, and the eyeballs are on us, right? So when you think about our opening match, which is on ABC, my friends all over the country, because I've been all over the country, could watch our match and support us, right? We're going to be on ESPN on Saturday.
Good place to be in, by the way.
Agree. People can watch us, right? And it seems like a small thing because, yes, people should be able to watch their favorite sports teams. Mm. But we're creating fandom across the nation and across the globe. And it's clear that, yeah, being on TV helps, and being able to control the schedule and understand when is the best window to play your matches is super helpful. And you're right. When you have your own stadium, you can do those things.
A couple episodes ago, I was able to chat with Vicky Cojevina Reynal, who's a managing partner, co-CEO of Mercury 13, a private investment fund that it's only investing in women's sports. And she mentioned something that was, you know, it's there, but I'd never seen it the way, you know, that she saw it. And that it is the fact that soccer as a sport has undersold to the women demographic, to women all over, not only women soccer, but the whole sport. How would you think that is true? And how could soccer better serve women?
That's a great question, Fernando. And I think that's always the multi-million dollar question when you're talking about a demographic that you might be trying to reach. I don't have an exact answer for you, but I can, using the examples I just shared with respect to storytelling, is making it a place where women fans, female fans, want to be here, right? When we think about our fan experience, for example, we want to make sure it is equitable and open to as many people as possible. We want to remove barriers as much as possible. So if there are female fans that want to be a part of our match day experience, we need to make it possible such that they can be. But I don't have an answer with respect to how do we expand our demographic. I think having us on TV so they can watch if they want to follow the sport. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that women aren't following our games, right? Like mm-hmm. our matches. When I walked our stadium, there were a lot of women screaming for the Kansas City Current. So I feel like we've done a really good job of honing in on the soccer fans and the demographic that want to be here at CPKC Stadium and follow us. But I'd love to hear more about the research that, you know, Mercury 13 is doing. But in general, I think we all want to expand the demographics that we're trying to reach.
You've been in every professional sports league, NHL with the Florida Panthers in many positions, Major League Baseball with the Pittsburgh Pirates, NFL with the 49ers, the NBA with the league itself, and then with the Milwaukee Bucks, with which you won when you guys won an NBA title. There was an Aggie on that team, by the way. I went to Texas A&M, so.
Yeah.
Middleton.
Oh, yes. Very aware. He came in college for us too. Money, cash money. Yeah.
Yeah. We are clutch. The Aggies are.
There you go.
So what can you bring from all those leagues into what you do now?
Yeah. I think there's a few things. The first thing is I've pretty much been in every sales role or been engaged in every sales and marketing role. So generating revenue and understanding, to your questions earlier, how to run a business such that it is sustainable and you can do the things that you want to do to reinvest in the club. So I bring revenue generating experience, which to me is number one, alongside 1A, which is leadership. I've been in a leader in each of those respective teams that you mentioned. And with that comes credibility. When I walked into this office for the first time, I could immediately go to our ticket sales team and say, I've been there. I could go to our sponsorship team and say, I've been there. Let's talk about how we can do this and mature as a business. So I think those two things, revenue generation and leadership, which are very important when you're talking about growing a business, which Angie, Chris, Brittany, and Patrick want to do. I think those two things are very important, and I've kind of done it. I will say this is, I think the gravity of this role is a little bit heavier in terms of what this means for what I want to try to do with respect to my career. It's great. Yes, you're right. We won a title with the Bucks, which is super awesome. Still haven't worn the ring, but it's beautiful. I've been in the other core four men's sports, but as we talked about earlier, the meteoric rise that is happening in women's sports, there was a little bit of FOMO, quite frankly, because I was watching from afar what they were doing here in Kansas City. So when I talked to Angie for the first time, I kind of knew already what she was trying to accomplish, and I felt like I needed to be a part of that. So the third thing I bring, other than revenue generating experience and leadership, is a desire to see the NWSL succeed and women's sports get the credit that it deserves on this level of platform with respect to being a strongly run business and one that deserves to be on ABC and ESPN every single week.
It's a hard question, the next one, I guess, for me to ask. Not, and I'm going to try to phrase it correctly. I guess the shorter I do, the better it might come out. What does equality mean when it comes to gender equality? What does that mean from your perspective when it comes to women's sports?
Whoa, Fernando, that's a deep one. What does equality mean?
Told you.
I think what it means to me is that we're not having a conversation about women's sports, men's sports. We're talking about sports. So that's the first thing. Like, I look forward to the day that I can come on podcasts or I can have an interview and we're just talking about a strong sports business that we're running, or how we're thinking about growth for our business, or what our stadium is doing with respect to sports business or arena business. So equality to me means that I won't ever have to talk about being in a woman's sport or a men's sport. We're just sports. So hopefully I answered that shortly.
No, you have, but it's a trailblazing process and it's got success written all over it because it's sports.
That's right.
It just hasn't been done, right? It hasn't been done right.
Right. And to that point, you know, like I said earlier, I think that the weight of this moment to do it right and perfect is obviously there. But I think the fact that we stepped out kind of on faith and stepped out and said, we can do this is great in terms of what the next person is going to do. Right. So while we put the pressure on us to do and be perfect, I want to be clear that we want to be great at what we do and be an example for what is possible. So, yeah, it's stressful and it's pressure. But again, I'll go back to it every single day. Just because it has not been done doesn't mean it can't be done and doesn't mean it can't be us.
I loved what you started off with, saying that this is not a moment, although it is, but a movement. And I surely hope that at CPKC, because this movement will go far and we'll see success, you have barbecue.
Yes, there is barbecue. When are you coming, Fernando? How can we?
That's on you. It's not on me. It's like when you're having me there, I want to go there. I knew Kansas City was I knew Kansas City was the soccer capital of America, and it strives to become somewhat big in the barbecue world. It's got to fight some people in Texas to do so, to first off. But you have to have some barbecue in your spot.
You definitely have Joe's Barbecue in the stadium. So when you come and you wear your kit along with your daughter, the right kit, we will host you at Joe's Barbecue. No question.
I'd love that. None can beat brisket at a soccer stadium.
Oh, there you go.
And make that's sure. Seldom found.
The bib. You got to get the bib, too. We'll have one specially made for you.
I love that. Love the conversation, Raven. Really look forward to meeting you in person, watching the game over there at CPKC, and best of luck in the coming season, which has started, and looking forward to seeing a lot of NWSL on ESPN.
Thank you so much, Fernando, for the time.
I really hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the podcast just as much as I did. And certainly we'll take Raven up on that invitation to go visit the KC Current up in Kansas City and watch one of their games and enjoy that world-renowned barbecue they so much enjoy in Kansas City. Again, thanks for listening, and I can't wait to be with y'all on the next episode of Nos Ponemos Las Pilas.